You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 20th, 2011. This is episode 193, Picnicking with Flickr. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, Wells Chief Technology Officer, and I'm very happy to have joining me, as usual, Sally Draper, Wells Technology Trainer. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. We are surviving a heat wave over here.
Us too. Yep.
Summer has arrived with a vengeance.
But I don't complain about the heat because I know what the alternative is. So
yeah.
Boys problem.
And I were talking about a 110 degree heat index the other day, and that's quite the contrast from negative 30.
Yes. Wonderful places we live.
That.
So
140 degree difference.
Yep, but I'm enjoying summer, and I'm enjoying the series that we're doing this summer called Wells Hacker. And I know that when we first talked about doing this series, we were maybe a little questioning of the rigor that it might take to do a blog post every week. And I think this was one of those weeks where, because we're recording two shows in a row due to scheduling and Synod convention and whatnot, this was a challenge to get two blog posts in. But I'll say what I said, I think, last week. I actually learn a lot in the process, just reading through yours and doing research on my own. And we're going to have a nice set of blog posts and series of step by steps by the end of all this.
You are a very positive man, Martin. Mm-hmm. And I am learning along with you, that is for sure. But boy, I'm learning that blogging once a week is hard.
It is.
We talked about this back in the beginning of the year, you know, being committed and really building up constant or regular blogging habits. And that can be a real challenge. This kind of forced our hand with this series this summer. But it has been a lot of fun. I also have noticed some trends. Your blogs tend to have a lot more words in them than mine do. mine tend to have a lot more pictures in them.
I'm a little loquacious, yes.
So we just have different strategies for getting this blogging thing done. But
right.
I've really enjoyed it. And pictures is a good topic. That's actually our topic for this show.
It turns out. Yes.
Separate from one another, we both zeroed in on an image-related topic for this show. So why don't you tell us about yours first?
Okay. Well, I focused on maybe a need that's out there. In fact, I'm sure it is. And almost every church and school wants to show their web visitor some images, some pictures. And it's easy enough to put a picture on a web page. But sometimes you want to do a little bit more than that. Maybe you have a series of images that you want to display, maybe in a slideshow format. Maybe it's a school event that you want your parent to view. Maybe it's a rotating series of images that you might want a potential church visitor to look at, just to get a flavor for what's it like to worship there, or different activities within the church. Just give them a nice little slideshow, nothing overly serious as far as 100 or 200 pictures, but I think there are some very easy technologies to get nice-looking slideshows on your website. And that was what my blog post was this week, talking about how to do that with a service called Flickr, which I think most people are probably familiar with, whether it be through their personal use of technologies like this, posting their family photos up on a service like Flickr or Picasa or something like that. And as it turns out, it's really easy to use Flickr to get your photo gallery embedded right on your website. So the concept is you upload your series of photos to a service like Flickr, and you create a slideshow there, and it's kind of built in, and then you grab the embed code that they provide, and then you plug that into your website, and basically Flickr's serving up the images with their cool slideshow kinds of features, but you get to take advantage of that by embedding it and showing it right on your website, so you don't have to send people to Flickr. Before I actually walked people through the steps in my blog post, I had some suggestions. So before I got to the technical details at the bottom, just some suggestions about which images to select for different kinds of situations. And I just have kind of my top five kind of rules of the road that I use when I'm putting together a slideshow. Number one was don't publish group shots. So you kind of know the ones I'm talking about, Sally, where you've got the entire third grade classroom in a shot, and all their little heads are actually even a lot smaller when you get it into a slideshow, and you can't really see anything. So kind of focus on the head shots, one or two people max, kind of try to capture the facial expression, something visually interesting, especially as this image is going to get shrunk down. Number two was try to ensure that your tonality is the same across all the photos in your slideshow. I think we've all seen some of the photos that get posted. Some have kind of a blue tone or a red tone, so kind of a cool picture or a warm picture. And then as you go from picture to picture, there's just you're almost distracted by the fact that, hey, these were taken by a different camera, different person, different lighting, and it's more distracting than anything else. It looks a little amateurish. Number three talks about permission. Make sure that if you're going to post images online, especially for some kind of promotional purpose on your website, you may want to get permission. Now, it's not illegal to post somebody's image on the web if it was taken in a public location, but it's just good form to ask permission to put your members' beautiful faces on your website. Number four, try to avoid too many shots of buildings. I think a lot of churches are very proud of their facilities and their grounds, so that you've got a bunch of shots of the interior, the exterior of the church, the steeple, the cross, the sign, whatever. I think most people coming to your website, as at least a visitor, are probably more interested in the people and the ministries than they are with shots of the building. And then finally, my number five was limit the number of photos that you put in that gallery. You don't need to give them, 100 or 200 shots that you have of the facility or the people or the last church picnic. Try and whittle it down to a dozen or so, and that's probably a long enough slideshow for anybody to get a flavor for what your church is all about. And then using the actual Flickr tools to get those photos onto your website is extremely easy. I have just five steps there and then some examples of how that might look. It's really easy on Final Web. The only technical gotcha is you got to find a way within your particular church or content management system to get at the source code or the HTML. And usually there's some kind of HTML or source code button that'll allow you to get into that source code and paste your HTML content, which you get from Flickr. And that's all there is to it.
Sounds like an easy way to share a lot of pictures. And actually, I was putting your post out on the Facebook page yesterday, and I asked if anybody did this, and it made me think I have done this kind of thing on my church and school website. So mm-hmm. I'll throw a link out there in the show notes to an example. We had a recent LWMS rally at our congregation, and it was one of those situations where we did take 100+ pictures. So mm-hmm. sorry to say it's a big long slideshow, but for those people that were there, that's
very interesting.
Exactly.
So it depends
on
the purpose.
We wanted to kind of document the event and capture the full day and all of the decorations and things that we put into it. But I did have something interesting come up in the process of uploading all those pictures. At some point, it told me that I had reached my limit on my Flickr account. And, they don't really put that out there very obviously. And most people probably wouldn't upload hundreds of pictures like I would for an event. But there is a limit of 300 meg of storage on your Flickr account. But you can upgrade and get a pro account for $25 a year.
Yep, so very reasonable. And that, and I've done that. And what that allows is unlimited upload and unlimited storage. Mm-hmm. So you could, I've used that in the past as kind of my picture backup even. So I've got images that are on my hard drive, but then I'll upload them all to Flickr in full resolution. since you don't have a storage limit. So Flickr is really acting as my backup in case my hard disk crashes or corruption occurs, whatever. So it's a good service.
They do put a limit on individual photo uploads.
Uploads in a month.
20 meg photos. So I don't think too many 20 meg photos.
Nope.
So I think I'm safe there.
Nope,
so.
Exactly right. So
yeah,
good service.
And one more thing that I noticed about Flickr that I wasn't aware of is that Picnic editing is integrated
right.
with the site. And my topic for this week is actually Picnic, which is an online image editor. And it's neat to see the tie between Flickr and Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And so
nice segue.
I'm not really talking image editing per se, but you certainly can use Picnic to do things like crop and resize and take out red eye and things like that. Yep. And Picnic has got a fun spelling, PICNIK.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have a very breezy, flowery site that reminds you of a summertime picnic, which is a lot of fun as well.
Yep.
What I wanted to focus on in my blog post this week was actually creating photo collages.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of another way to do a slideshow, except in gallery form in collage
kind of
form.
All in one.
Yep.
And again, I take a lot of pictures and I try to pull out the best and sometimes make them into collages. And they're good for sharing on your church or school website. They're good for sharing on your personal blogs or whatever it may be. You can even use collages maybe in a header area of a website, so where you'd want to put together several pictures and have them in the header. So lots of uses for collages. And I actually, in my blog post, posted several examples, pictures from Easter, pictures of a school project where the kids had Flat Stanley visit from, I think he came to us from Omaha, Nebraska, and we took pictures in the computer lab of Flat Stanley participating in computer class. And
so tell me what Flat Stanley is again, Sally.
Flat Stanley is a children's book, and the little boy in the book gets flattened because his bulletin board falls on him. So he is paper thin, and he gets into a lot of interesting situations because of his flat status. But as a takeoff from that book, then many educators will mail Flat Stanley to different places, a little paper doll kind of version of
mm-hmm.
Flat Stanley. And then you can kind of let Flat Stanley travel and hear about his travels in the classroom setting. So Flat Stanley made it to Sleepy Eye last year, and we took pictures and made a photo collage for the class that sent it to us. We also had a Unity Sunday celebration in February
this year.
Oh, I
see that on your post. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and one of the things we did was we took pictures, kind of fun family pictures of everyone in front of a rainbow.
Very colorful.
And then we made it to this gigantic collage. And actually, one of the fringe benefits of being near Martin Luther College is they have an awesome print shop. So I sent in Picnic, you can save your collages at 2,400 by 2,400 pixels. So that's a fairly
very printable
high level printing quality. And I sent it over to MLC, and they printed it at like a 20-inch by 20-inch size. And we matted it and stuff, and have this picture out for our congregation to enjoy and remember the unity that we celebrated that Sunday.
So what are people holding over their mouths?
Oh, they have little mustaches.
I can't quite see it on the size of the photo here.
Yeah, actually, I think if you click to my Unity Sunday post, I have a really large version of it posted out there
as well. Okay, cool. But, I like it.
Yeah, it was fun. So collages come in handy a lot of ways. I even have a collage of the poultry barn at the Brown County Fair. So that's the title.
That's the title. I was going to ask you about that.
Crowing about collages.
Okay, so, got it.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And so I wanted to share a few tricks. Like I said, pretty easy to do if you go to the library tab on Picnic. There's a big old button for making a collage, and mm-hmm. I did a screenshot.
Make a collage, it says.
Yeah, hard to miss. I took a screenshot of the page that you interact with. Basically, you have a lot of different layouts, and your images that you've uploaded to Picnic show along the bottom, and you click on an image and drag it into the layout wherever you want it to be. And it's pretty much that simple. But there is a section of the page where you can do some customization. So if you want to change the background color, it defaults to a dark gray color, but you can make it orange or white or whatever you might prefer. If you want to change the roundness of the corners of your pictures. So they don't always have to be square. They can have round edges and that kind of thing. Lots of different sliders that you can work with, so it's really easy. My favorite one, I'm not real great at discovering things. It takes me a while. I've been making collages for a while, and I just found this proportion slider. Where you can take these square collages that I've been making over and over again, and you can elongate them or make them different proportions. And so I have an example posted
headers,
there. Where,
yeah,
I took some different header ideas and made a collage of different header ideas. And they display, obviously, not great square. You'd want them longer.
Right.
And so, yeah, using that proportion slider, then you can make that happen. I will tell you that... you can have a free account on Picnic, but with the free account, you can only upload 5 photos at a time. So your collages could have a maximum of 5 photos in there. If you do spring for the upgrade and pay for an account on Picnic, it's $25 a year.
Same as the Flickr account. Yeah.
And then you have unlimited storage of your photos there on Picnic, and you can make collages. Actually, with the premium account, it kind of unlocks a lot more potential for your layouts and things. And you even have the ability to select how many rows and columns you want. So you can really customize your collage layout in any way with the premium account. So
nice.
Lots of fun there.
Picnic is one of those tools that almost everybody needs to have, and I think the upgrade is worth it as well. I can't tell you how many teachers I've talked to in the past 6 to 12 months here who, once introduced to it, use it almost all the time for different projects and such. So any webmaster would this is really all you need to kind of tweak the photos that would make it work on a website.
I actually teach my students in computer lab to use it as well. So it's a great tool for teaching basic image editing, and they don't need an account at all to upload
right.
one picture and, you know, resize things or whatever and save it back to their computer. So it's an excellent tool for using in the classroom as well.
Good image theory, and maybe the death of those 300K images that you sometimes see on websites that whoever's managing the site hasn't quite figured out that you don't need 300K of image to display. So
yeah, I love the ones that are scanned, and you get the whole scanner bit as well, where they didn't crop out just the picture.
Oh, of course, yeah. And then it kind of window shades down the screen as you twiddle your thumbs. Yeah, so. Nice. Good pick, and nice write-up. I think it's you do a nice job, Sally. I like the visual as well.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Shall we move on to community feedback?
You bet.
Oh, by the way, if you want to see any of these posts that we're talking about, sallydraper.com or martinspriggs.com is where you find them.
Thank you. Great. This week we heard again from David Schumann. We talked about David last week. He is at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, and he is our visionary. He's always thinking of great ideas. And last week he shared with us the idea of using an organist via Skype, and we thought, well, maybe we're not quite there for the bandwidth needed to have real-time organist in a different location. But he wrote back and said, yeah, I can understand the challenges that might be involved there and the delay that might happen. But here's a different idea for you. So this is David's idea of the week, and it is a very good one, I think. For congregations that are in need of a substitute pastor, many times the pastor actually needs a vacation and needs to be out of town for some reason. And sometimes it can be really hard to find someone to come and lead the service in his absence. And I know in our congregations down in Texas, we're kind of few and far between. And oftentimes a layman in the congregation would read a sermon that the pastor had prepared in advance or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
David suggested that you set up your video software and actually play a video of a sermon from another congregation. And I guess potentially you could participate live in their service if they were live streaming, but probably a safer alternative would be to find a video that's posted that you could watch at the appropriate time during your service.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a very creative idea and maybe useful to some of our outlying districts that have a hard time filling in when the pastor is away.
Yeah, and now with LCD projectors being fairly inexpensive and screens, et cetera, you don't have to roll the TV out and throw it up on there. It's can be streamed over that computer to an LCD and get a nice big image. Mm-hmm.
So thanks right for sharing, David.
Yep, hook it right into your sound system as well.
Sure. Next up, we have some links shared via our DIGO Wells Tech group. And if you aren't part of that, we'd love to have you join us over on DIGO. It's basically a social bookmarking application where you can share links that you come across that might be of interest to others that are techie that listen to the Wells Tech podcast. And this week we heard from Jason Schmidt, and he gave us a link to Digging Deeper with DIGO, which is it looks like a Wiki Spaces page where they've posted just a ton of resources for using DIGO. So if you're interested in getting started with DIGO, here's a great place to go. And then once you read up on all of the possibilities, you just need to join our Wells Tech group as well.
So. Yeah, the problem with the page is you don't really know where to start. I mean, there's videos, there's tutorials, there's documentation. Really, it's almost a central source for all things DIGO, which has a lot of capabilities, so something like this is really useful.
Absolutely. Then we heard from Ryan Rosenthal, who's from Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and he shared a link to British Museum's page on cultures, world cultures. He thought this would be useful for history and geography teachers to bookmark. And basically, they have all the cultures of the world covered. And then via the links that are provided there, you can learn more about those particular cultures, visit galleries that they have posted on their website related to those cultures and that kind of thing. So looks like a good one for history and geography teachers.
Yeah, they've even got some online tours that'll walk you through different locations with lots of images and really a nice visual experience where they've covered the entire world. Really, it's a nice setup. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ryan.
And I shared a few links related to the recent ISTE National Conference. The ISTE organization met ISTE, International Society of Technology and Education, I believe is what that stands for.
Close enough, yep.
And they have a huge conference every summer. It's the highlight of many of the EdTech bloggers that I follow. Summer vacation. They just make sure they make it to this conference every year, and they always share great information. This year it was over in Philadelphia at the end of June, and they have posted a video archive online where they captured about 50 or so of the various sessions. So definitely some of the major highlights, keynote addresses and things like that. So if you didn't attend ISTE, this is a way for you to get a lot of the professional development via the video archive. So you'll want to check that out. I just had to pick out one and watch because I would love to learn along with them. And the one I picked turned out to be a real gem. It was called The Best Free Web Tools, and it was done by a fellow named Adam Bellow, who's, I'll have to look up his website. I think it's EduTecher, EduTecher. So it looks almost like teacher, but it's Techer. Anyway, edutecher.net is his website, and he put together this hour-long presentation where he shared some of his favorite Web 2.0 tools, and many of them I hadn't heard of, so I was just bookmarking things like crazy, and you can bet that you'll be hearing about a lot of them in the future because I was really excited about some of the things he shared in his presentation. I will share one of them with you today, and it's called YouTube Search Stories. Martin, I'm not sure if you've heard of this
one. No, I have not.
But Search Stories is a website on or an area of YouTube, and it goes back to a recent advertisement that played. Mm-hmm. It was called Parisian Love, and it focused on using Google and doing different searches in Paris, like someone's going on a trip there. And then you can tell by the progression of the searches that they do, they're looking for candy and flowers, and it ends with them going back and looking for a chapel in Paris and then looking for instructions for a baby crib. So you can tell by the progression of their searches the story that happens, that unfolds on their trip to Paris and subsequently falling in love and marrying there. So what's cool about this site is you can create your own search story video. There's a link on the site that says create your own, and it gives you a place to put in 7 different search terms. And it will then generate for you your own search story video. And it's kind of hard to describe. I do have a link to an example. I did one for our church. And as you put in the search terms, you can tell it whether you want it to show a Google search or show a map or show an image search or a blog search. So there's several different varieties of things that you can have it search on and display in the video. And it too can allow you to show a progression of searches and hopefully a happy ending at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. Kind of hard to describe, but you need to check it out.
Yeah.
It's unique,
I'll
and it that. Might be a fun way to do a little promotional video for your website mm-hmm. or for an event that's coming up.
Nice.
Yeah. Martin,
and
you have
I have the last one. Yep. Something I shared on Digo as well. And it's from a blog that I read fairly regularly, Communicate Jesus, Digital Inspiration for Ministry. And they've got some nice blog posts. This one caught my eye the other day, and it's on copyright, church copyright. And they're really in the blog post talking about some of the complexities of copyright, and especially one of the two services that I usually recommend, CCLI, Church Copyright Licensing International. And what one church has done, because it's so complicated, is they put together their own little copyright requirements guide. This is actually a church in Australia. They did a nice little PDF, and the link to that is in the blog post itself, where they talk about all the different licensing options that CCLI offers and what they're good for and how they use them in their particular church. So it's kind of a an everyman kind of approach to how, you know, in the common language, when do we use this? What's it good for? In our church situation, we use this one for this, and this allows us to do that. And these are the reporting requirements. And this one does this, and it, you know, covers, you know, streaming. And this one covers printing lyrics in the bulletin or a wedding folder, whatever. Nice little guide, and I think would be helpful. And they give the prices right there, and the reporting requirements for each one and what you can and can't do. So just a nice little guide that they put together that probably wouldn't be a bad thing for each church to think through, to read through, think through, and then ultimately maybe build their own so that it's clear for people that are responsible for the production of the bulletin or the recording of the service or the streaming of the service to make sure that they're covered via the right license. So nice little post called An Idiot's Guide to Church Copyright. So I like the name too.
Church copyright is an area where I'd like to say ignorance is bliss, but actually ignorance can get you in some difficult situations.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, some church strategy is just that, which really shouldn't be. So
yeah.
All right. That about does it for community feedback and the show next week. We've got a couple more interesting topics, so make sure you tune in. Let's close the show this week with the music of Crosswalk Lutheran Ministries down in Arizona, their song, You Are My World. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Life has brought me down. I feel like I am lost and can't be found. And when I've given up, you're still around. You pull me up. Take this broken clay, restore it back to life, to work today. Because of all your goodness, I will say your name be praised. And in all of this you show, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. You are my world, you are my world. Could I pretend that any of my works could ever mend a love for me so great? You chose to send your only son. Your love is falling free, and Jesus' sacrifice has covered me. You've given me a life eternally by grace alone. And in all of this I see, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. You are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. I am finally free by what you've given for me. Now be with you for eternity. When I look to the cross, I see you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. You are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. You are my world. You are my world. You are my world. You are my world. You are my world.